And this is for men in their 40s and their 50s. Is that you? Yeah. All right, who's the youngest in the room? Anybody just turned 40? Oh, we got a couple. I was going to give away money, but there's a lot of you, so forget that. Who's the oldest in the room? How many are 59? 59? All right. How close? In February, you'll be 59 in February. So anybody going to be 60 this year? When's your birthday? Anybody got him beat? June 4th, you'll be 60. What's yours? June? June 18th. Just putting them out there together. It's great to be in your 40s and 50s. And some would argue that this is the hardest season of a man's life. And they're not entirely wrong. It's the hardest season of a man's life, but it's also potentially the most productive season of a man's life. We're no longer teenagers. Can I get a witness? Praise the Lord for that. But we're not in our 20s or 30s either. And this is a good stage. By now, God's plan for me and you is that we're getting older. And you need to say that in our culture, and I'll tell you why. Because our culture glorifies youth. Our culture doesn't want gray hair. Our culture doesn't want, you know, inner tubes around the middle part. Our culture glorifies youth. But God designed the church for there to be elders. You've read that in your Bible, haven't you? And brothers, you're there. And it's a good thing. God designed you to be a successful elder at this age of your life. It's an interesting thing to study 40s and 50s because many men blow it at this age. It happens for some reason that a lot of guys have issues with purity, divorce, getting another wife, adultery. It's this age. So we're at a very important time right now. This is a time when many of us are raising teens, or we're sending kids to college, or we have kids who are entering that marrying time. And the reason God wants you to succeed at this time of your life is this is a time when your children need you. If you're raising a teenager, it's important that you are a successful man in your 40s and 50s because your teenager needs you to be a successful man. And you know how easy it is to let those years fly by when you're a teenager or when you're raising teenagers. You know, one day runs into another, next thing you know, he's 16. And you blink a little bit, and the next thing you know, they're 17. And so this is an important age, because this is an age where you are discipling. You know, there's stages in parenting. You that are parents know this. You have the little ones, and when you have a little one, that's a give me your attention stage. You're training obedience. You're spanking the daylights out of them when they need it. You're training them, listen to my voice. That's give me your attention. And then overlapping there, pretty soon you start the stage, give me your heart. And that's the stage where you're training your children in truth. You want them to be saved during that time. The younger, the better, right? Don't let that bother you. Don't be bothered by children being saved. Jesus was okay with that. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. So don't be, if your theology is bothered by that, at least think through your theology, because something's probably wrong. Because the best time for a person to come to faith is in their youth. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. And it's important. This is the give me your heart stage. Because the heart deals with the mind. You know that, right? And so when you're dealing with those, you're in your 20s and 30s, that's often give me your attention, give me your heart stage. Because you're trying to teach your kids how to be saved. And you're teaching them to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and no, sir, and thank you, and may I, and you're training them to be polite and have manners, and your son to treat his sister right, and the sister to treat her brother right. That's all give me your heart stage. That's the stage where we try to, if we're succeeding, we're teaching them God's word. This is why we go to church. You remember Deuteronomy lays out for us in chapter 6 that every man is to take care of himself and his sons and his sons' sons. And he says, I'm to know God's word. and I'm to teach it diligently to my children, talk about it when we're sitting in the house, going to bed, getting out of bed, walking through life. And he said, because there's going to come a time when your son's going to say, Dad, what means all these commands and rules and laws that God gave us? What's this all about? And I love Deuteronomy. What Moses says is this. Moses said the way to answer that is to tell him a story. And the story goes like this. Well, you see, son, we were slaves in Egypt. And our God brought us out of Egypt and brought us into this land and gave us His law and His word so we could succeed in our lives. You tell them a story. And this is what you got to get good at this give me your heart stage. Dad, why do we got to go to church tonight? Let me tell you a story, son. Because one day your daddy was a sinner on the road to hell. And a Savior named Jesus came into my life. He died on a cross for my sins. And he was buried and he was raised from the dead. And he brought me out of the slave market of sin and gave me everlasting life and gave me his word. That's why we're going to church tonight. Dad, why can't we go see that movie? Well, let me tell you a story. Dad, why do I have to wear that? Let me tell you a story. Why can't I date her? Let me tell you a story. See, this is give me your heart stage. And then we change at this age of our life, brothers, to the give me your hand stage. Son, give me your hand. Sweetheart, give me your hand. And let's walk through these next few years together. I'm going to show you how to succeed as an adult. I'm going to show you what a 13-year-old has to do in order to be a successful 33-year-old. And brothers, be honest. This is where most of us fail. I mean, didn't you train your kids to obey? My dad used to say to me, buddy, you better straighten up right now or I'm going to cloud up and rain all over you. And I found out what that meant. And my dad, he never gave us spankings because my dad didn't believe in that. And he only gave us whoopings. And the thing about my dad giving you a whooping was it lasted 2 or 3 years. So like 2 years later, so you want another one? I could straighten up things I didn't even know was wrong. But see, that's that stage. You're in another stage. This is the stage. Now, some of you are still in the give me your attention. Maybe you got started later. You got a newborn. I have a friend who's my age, 52, and they just had a baby. That'll change your 50s, brother. I said to him, I said, you do know what causes that, don't you? And apparently he does, so we got that settled. But I don't know where you are. But most of us, see, this is that age of life where you're training. You're, give me your hand. Let me walk you through these years. And brothers, be honest. This is where we fail. This is a stage of life where we fail. And there's all kinds of things that go into that. We're busy. This is a busy stage of life. And it's the stage where you got your job and you got a routine going. Come home, go to bed, get up, go to work. Come home, go to bed, get up, go to work. You're in the routine of life. And how many guys our age are distracted? Football's not wrong. I love it. But my kids are more important than football. And Instagram's not wrong. I have an account. June spent a lot of hours doing nothing in our generation. And the night come to an end, and you didn't have family devotions, and you didn't have devotions yourself, and let a few of those years turn into months, or a few of those days turn into months, and a couple of those months turn into years, and we blow it. So this is an important stage. This is a time, this is good, this is a time when our testosterone begins to drop, and it's hard on us. For one thing, some of you guys, You are raging testosterone and you could eat anything you wanted and it made no difference at all. You still had a six pack. And I don't know if any of you do now. And if you do, it's caught because you got a lot of investment. This is not a stage of life where you get a six pack. This is where you get a 2 liter. Y'all with me on this? Y'all picking up what I'm laying down? And we can joke about that, but this is the stage, and this is the stage where your teens start making fun of you for it. Like my teen boys, they love to work out, and you know, two of mine are married now, and I got a 19-year-old, and my 19-year-old's in the gym, you know, he's doing sit-ups and push-ups, and he's working out, and he loves to come in and show me. And I'm okay with that because I can show him. My son took a photo of me. My dog was sitting beside me. And the way I was sitting, I was kind of hunched over. And my t-shirt was a little tight. And my belly was sticking out. My son took a picture of me and my dog, posted it on his social media account, and said, "Look, two pooches." Wrote him out of the will. Wouldn't make any difference anyway, because he's not getting nothing. But this is a strange time. We gain weight more easily. We see a drop in our sexual desires. Begins to slow down. And that's hard on a lot of men. Our wives change. This is the age of life where all of a sudden our wives turn into a different person. It's called menopause. It'll change your life. I read an article one time said, if your wife's going through menopause, here's what you do about it. You sound out the word very slowly. Men of pause. This is an important time. You'll have to say the right thing, to handle it right. What a lot of men do during this time of life. Their sexual drive is dropping and it scares them. They're starting to put on weight in places they've never had to worry about that. Their wife is changing because she's going through a change in her life that God designed her to go through. So a lot of men throw in the towel. Go buy themselves a new car and get a new wife. And it's a dumb move. You know why? Because women are women. People come to me all the time in counseling are like, "Now, Brother Young, my wife," and I usually will say something like this, "Hold on a minute. This is not unique to your wife. Just so you know, this is a woman thing." And a guy divorces his wife to find a better woman and marries a woman and finds out, oh, she's a woman too. Which is why 60% of second marriages frequently end in divorce as well. And over 75% of third ones. And over 85% of fourth ones. And the more times you get married, the greater your percentage of divorce is. You know why? Because a guy our age is always looking for something better and finding out it doesn't get no better than this. Where we are is a good place to be. We're getting older. We ought to have more wisdom now than we've ever had. Surely you do, don't you? If nothing else, don't you have a little more experience than your teenager? Like my son's like, "Dad, check out my six-pack." I'm like, "Check out the three cars I own." That'll preach, won't it? "Dad, look at my six-pack. Check out that house I own." "What do you own, son?" "Oh, that's right. Nothing." See, this is a good time, guys. This is a time where God wants you to be advancing and enjoying this stage. Don't think of this stage like, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm getting older," and get worried about it. Midlife crisis is real. And it's real in the sense that your hormones are real. And we men laugh at our wives, "Oh, her hormones are all over the place." Men have them too, just not like women. And for that, we can all say, praise God. But you got them. And that's why this is a stage of life where a lot of men withdraw. A lot of men get angry. A lot of men battle discouragement. A lot of men at our age battle loneliness. Because we're busy. The kids are demanding. There are many of us in this room that don't even have a really good close guy friend. We're alone. Our teenagers hang out with each other and laugh and talk, but many of us in this room wouldn't know who to call if we wanted to go to a game with a friend our age. And if we did, it would not be necessarily a friend, it'd be just acquaintance, somebody we work with. It's a rare thing at this age of our life to have a Jonathan like David had when he was a young man. This is a tough time. And biblical masculinity at this time of your life is just incredibly important. We develop fears at this time of our life about our health, even about our jobs, about whether or not our life is effective. We become aware of our mortality. I'm 53, and I'm very aware that all things being equal, I'm closer to the day of my death than to my birth. Now, my great-grandfather lived to be 104. So, If I'm like him, you're going to hear me a lot of more years at Men's Prayer Advance. But that's rare, isn't it? If I live to be 80, I've got less than 30 years. We're aware of that at this age of our life. It's an important age. This age is where we begin to act like our dad. Anybody this age finding yourself saying things and going, oh my word, I just sounded like my dad. I can't believe the things I say. In fact, my son said to me the other day, you know, you sounded just like Papaw. And he's right. And it dawned on me that Papaw didn't act that way because he was Papaw. He acted that way because he was in the third stage of life. It's where we are. Our kids treat us differently. We're no longer their hero. This is a hard stage. The 7-year-old that crawls up in your lap and says, Daddy, I want to marry somebody just like you, might at this age of your life think you're a little weird. It's a stage of our life where our kids are pulling away by God's design to become adults on their own, and they're looking elsewhere at times. It's a hard stage. It's a time when many men make some really dumb mistakes. Adultery and fornication, brothers, is a dumb, stupid mistake at any age, but especially at this one. Adultery will not make you younger, and it won't solve your problems, and it's just as wrong today as it's ever been. If there's a girl you're flirting with, if there's a lady you're private messaging, you better run. You better run. You better break everything. You better change everything. It won't solve any issues at this age. Divorce is a big mistake at this age. Every problem in your marriage that's going on right now can be solved by proper steps, by the right help, and by obedience to God's word. If your marriage is struggling at this stage of life, you're not alone. Don't let it end. Go to work on it. Get some steps of obedience. Get counsel. Man up. This is a time where some men get stupid in their purchases. You probably don't need a Corvette unless you got enough money in the bank to pay cash. I mean, if you got enough money to buy a Corvette, pray about buying your favorite evangelist one too. Red, quad exhaust. This is also a time when sometimes guys get silly about their responses. It's not wrong to dye your hair, but don't be silly about it. For crying out loud, let it go gray if you want. My neighbor is my age, and his wife is 10 years younger than him, and so she doesn't like that he's looking so much older than she is, so she's got him dyeing his hair black. But none of us are fooled. It's not like we're going, wow, he looks young. What we're going is, wow, he dyes his hair. We all know it. It's not like, you know, and now she's got him putting cream on because he's getting those wrinkles in his face and she's trying to get the wrinkles out. God designed us to have wrinkles, brothers. Embrace them. It's okay to get older. How do we find biblical masculinity in the third quarter of life? Let me give you a couple of words. Paul says this. He said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Be on guard, watch ye, be alert, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he devour. Stand fast in the faith. This is a time to be strong men of God, to get your Bible every day, to find a place to kneel every day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. 3 times a day as a grown man our age, 3 times a day. Evening, morning, noon is how the psalmist says it, Psalm 55. The Bible's not commanding us. We're not legalists. You have to pray 3 times a day or you're not spiritual. The Bible's not like that at all. But all of us ought to walk with God. Stand fast in the faith. This is an age where your church ought to benefit from you being a part of it. Your giving. Your service. This is a great age to be involved in the youth group because you ought to have enough wisdom now to know how to help a young man in your church that has nobody helping him. This is a great age to serve God. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men is a Bible phrase that has the idea of be brave. Don't face this with fear. Man up and embrace this age of your life. I'm 53 in a few days, and I'm happy about it. I don't want to go back and be 43 again. I'm done with that. I'm happy to be here. I'm 53. By now, I know more about marriage than I've ever known. By now, my wife's starting to reap the benefits of putting up with me for almost 30 years. I'm figuring it out. I got a daughter that's 27 or 26, a son that's 25, a son that's 22. They're all married in the ministry. I got a 19-year-old that's in Bible college. He's home working on a few areas. I held him out this semester. He did some stupid stuff last semester, and so I said, all right, if you're going to do that, I sold his car, and I'm not letting him go back to college until he straightens some things out. So he's working. We met yesterday. I went home yesterday to meet with him, and we had a good talk. God's working on him. We're in love. I love him. He loves me. He admitted, yeah, so I got a couple things to work on. I'm still parenting, but I got a teenager at home. I told my wife the other day, if we blow it with her, there's no excuse. With Abby, it was all a gamble. Had no idea what I was doing. She's number one. I tried everything, see if it worked. And with Charity, Charity's 14. By now, I ought to know. If I don't know how to raise a 14-year-old now, I'm in trouble. I'm 53. This is a great hour. Be brave, man. Don't face this hour with fear. Don't. This is an age where you may go to the doctor and find out you got cancer or that's your, what are those levels? Those P something levels. You know, those are a little elevated. It's not a time to be afraid. God's still God and He's still good and you're just getting older. Embrace it. Be brave. Stand fast and quit you like men and be strong. Don't let this world blow you over. Be strong. Sometimes at this age you got to do a hard thing. It was a hard thing for me to say to my son, I didn't like how you behaved last semester in Bible college. So you're not going back. And your car's for sale. And you're going to drive my car with my permission. You're going to get a job. And since I sacrificed to send you last semester and you've done some stupid things, you have to pay the next one all by yourself. All of it. That's a hard thing to do. It's hard. This is a time to do hard things. It was a hard thing to do to say to David, yes, you can marry my daughter. That's a hard thing to do. It was also a hard thing for me to say to her one day, that young man you're interested in is not an option. Don't make me go to jail. I will bury him. I have an alibi. I'm being dumb, you know that. But it was a hard thing. This is a time to do hard things. Be strong, the Bible says. It's a hard thing to... Admit, I'm just getting older and I don't have the sex drive I used to have. Be strong. It's hard to be this age. It's hard to serve your wife when you've been used to her serving you. And if your wife's going through menopause, this is a time where she needs your understanding, your love, your gentleness. It's a new time of your life to where you get to serve her now, to be aware of her needs, to spend money on her, to invest in her. This is a great time. So take these words and chew them over. Number one, accept. Accept that this is a time to embrace the age and experiences of wisdom that comes in just with our age. This is good. Embrace your age. Embrace experiences. Embrace wisdom. Use it for the good of your marriage and your family and your church. Stop fighting getting older. Just accept this. Getting older is essential to life, and it has great benefits. Wisdom and experience is one of those benefits. You know more now, don't you? You might have blown it in 22, but if you blew it in 22, it's okay as long as you learn from it. If you blew it, learn from it and pick it up and do right. Is this fair? It's a great age. You're closer to the empty nest than you've ever been. Anybody there? Some of you are. I've heard it's awesome. How y'all doing? My nephew, I have an RV, and we travel in our revival work in the RV, and when we're home, I park the RV under a pole barn I have, and my nephew is a student at Pensacola Christian College, and his parents are in India as missionaries. So he called me and said, I need a place to stay for 3 weeks because I can't check into college, and can I stay with you guys? Sure. And I said, you want to stay in the RV? Oh, he said, it'd be cool. And it's a nice RV, so let him stay in there. And he came over the other night, and I was home just for like 7 hours. I landed, spent a few hours at the house, and departed. And right after I came in, he knocked on the back door, and he eased the door. He said, is it safe to come in? And my wife said, well, Wesley, we're not empty nesters yet. I was like, Charity, let's pick up this homeschool and get you graduated. See if we can do this in 2 years instead of four. It's like, wow, we're getting close to the emptiness. Now, there's a little silliness to that, but it is a great time, isn't it? You that are emptiness, God didn't design that for you to be all sad. Oh, my goodness, my kids are gone. I'm going to be honest. It's a little hard because I got a grandbaby. You know where she lives? Camarillo, California. Her daddy's a youth pastor in a great church, and he loves it, and I hate that he loves it. Because there's a lot of churches near me that need a youth pastor, and be really nice when I come home from my revivals to go, you know, down the road to see my granddaughter. Instead, to see my granddaughter, I got to fly to California. But you know what? It's great. I train my children to leave. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to grow up, get out, and get married. Go. You know why? Because I'm looking forward to when it's just me and your mom again. Just me and you, baby. We're going to buy us a Corvette. I don't know where this Corvette's coming from, but it seems to be of the Lord. And, see, this is a good stage. So accept it is the first word. Number two, evaluate it. Now let's park here a moment. Evaluate where you are in this stage of your life. Let's be practical. Might be time to work on your retirement plan. And this is a time, life's busy and most of us are working and trying to just make ends meet. But you might need to pick that up a little bit. Evaluate where you are. Think through some areas that might need work. You still raising children? It's a good time to think about it. You say, I don't know how my 16-year-old is going to make it. You got 2 more years, brother. Take advantage of the next 2 years. If you're still got it, you know, if you're like, I got a 14-year-old. I got about, you know, 3.5 more years with her. Jake's home, and so I've got another year with him. I told him when he came home, I had to work on a couple of things. I said, son, the good thing is that I get to spend 9 more months with you. And I just want you to know I'm happy about that because you mean the world to me. And yeah, you made some dumb mistakes, but now you know better, don't you? So let's take the next 9 months and grow and mature. And when you go back to college this fall, go back to college a new man of God. I had to evaluate. Where am I? Where's he? How can I help him get to where he needs to be? Where's my Charity? How can we help her to get? What do we need to be aware of? Your kids have smartphones? Evaluate how you're doing there. When's the last time you just picked up their phone and looked at who they're texting? When's the last time you checked your son's phone to see what he's looking at on the internet? Don't ignore it. Because your son may want to be clean, but if he's on the internet, there's a very high chance pornography will find him. And he's going to be embarrassed by that. It found you, didn't it? It's going to find him, and it may even find her. And it's a great thing to be this age in my life where I know what to do about that. And to find a son that's struggling before he's 35 and struggling. And to help him when he's... Don't react to that. Don't be like, what is wrong with you? No, it's a time to say, son, I'm sorry that you have this battle now. Now let's find out how to deal with it and let's win. Amen. You're at that age where you can do this, brothers. So evaluate. Where's your kids? Where's your marriage? Evaluate it. Have you gotten so busy that you haven't been on a date in a long time? All right, pick it up. So we don't have a lot of money. You don't have to have money to date. Go for a walk on purpose and call it a date. Go to McDonald's and get the value meal. Go to a cemetery and take a walk. Nobody will bother you. And get her some flowers. It's a great age. Evaluate's the word here. This is the age to evaluate. Think about where you are. Evaluate some areas of potential failure in your own life. Evaluate that. Where's the enemy most likely to attack you and when? Do you know? You should. You should. Is it your purity where he's most likely to win? Is it with your kids where he's most likely to win? Is it your marriage? Is it your finances? We're all different, but you ought to know. Because when I know, I can start taking steps to stop the attack from killing me. How many of y'all know the devil's able to kill guys our age? He can kill your marriage. He can kill your purity. He can murder your relationship to your children. But you have a God in your life, and through Him, you're more than conquerors. But it's not automatic. We've got to evaluate it and take the right steps. Accept this stage of your life. Evaluate it. Develop this age of your life. In other words, keep growing. How many of you men know this? Do you know this? You haven't arrived. Y'all know this, men? Do you know this? Because we act like we have at this age. I'm good. That's a nice revival sermon, but I'm good. I know preach has a good sermon, but I didn't need it. It's easy to be this at our age. Because, you know, we're in our 50s, we're in our 40s, we're good, I'm doing good. My marriage is fine. My kids are fine, I'm fine. I got a job, I'm fine. Never stop growing. When's the last time you memorized a verse to help you be a better Christian? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When's the last time you hid a verse in your heart to help you be a better Christian? I'm memorizing right now. It's my memory verse this week. Evening, morning, and noon will I cry aloud, and the Lord shall hear me. I obviously don't have it yet. But evening, morning, and noon, I'm memorizing that. You know why? Because I'm trying something new in my life. Lord, I need to pray more. So I just had a little, just an evaluation of my own life. God, I know I need to be on my knees with you a little more. So I'm trying to start my day in prayer, and I do it in one of two ways. When I wake up, my alarm goes off, or I wake up, I try to do something I learned from a fellow in West Virginia. He said, he's an old man, he said, Brother Young, every morning when I wake up, I just go ahead and put my hands in the air. I just lay there in bed, and he said, I go like this, good morning, Lord. I'm all in. So I start my day in prayer. A lot of times I try to slip out of bed and just take a moment to kneel. Just because I'm trying to grow in this area. Just, I don't pray an hour, but just pause for a moment and commit my day to God. God, I know today my wife needs me to be on my on game. And Charity needs a daddy that's right with you. And sometimes I talk to God about yesterday. God, yesterday I spent too much time scrolling. And I saw that one little reel that wasn't the best. How many of y'all know it's always better to take care of things when they're real small? So start your day. Set an alarm at noon. Pause and have prayer. Just at noon, pause, pray. Just if you're in the middle of Walmart, just stop and bow your head and put your hands in the air. Nobody will bother you. Stand there and pray for a moment. They might take photos, but let them. I was in the airport one day in Atlanta waiting on a flight, and a man came down the hallway with a turban and a robe. and went across from me and pulled out this little blanket and knelt in the middle of the Atlanta airport and prayed. It's convicting to me. So Lord, I need to pick it up. So how are you doing? You're growing. When's the last time you took a spiritual step so you'd be a better Christian? I've asked God this year to help me be a better soul winner. Life's busy, and I preach the gospel just like I did a moment ago. I love the gospel. I'm all about the gospel. But I want to be a better soul winner. I was in the airport the other day. I don't even know what airport it was now. Somewhere. And I saw a young man, looked like he was like 20, reading a book. And I was like, that's weird. So I went and sat by him. He kept reading. I sat there. And he finally put his book down, and I said, can I ask you a question? And he said, sure. I said, do you always read in the airport? He goes, yeah, sometimes. I just thought it was kind of weird because I almost never see a guy your age reading in the airport. And he and I started talking. He's from Australia, on his way to Buenos Aires to hike with some buddies he met in Argentina. I'm like, seriously? And we had a great talk. We sat there for an hour and talked about Jesus and who he is and how do you know Christianity is the right religion as opposed to others. And we had a great talk, had a good audience. People around us were listening in. I'm working on that. You'd think an evangelist would have that down, wouldn't you? But early this year when I stopped to evaluate, I realized this is an area where I need to grow. And I'm illustrating to say to you, where do you need to grow? Is it your marriage? You got a little angst in your marriage, a little sarcasm, a little frustration? Solve it. You might need to go home and do some evaluating and say to your wife, sweetheart, I know I've been a royal jerk. And I've been really busy and, you know, I don't think this is right. And I just want you to know. God's working in my heart, and I want to be more loving and more gracious and more kind. And what could I do for you that would help you to know that? This is a time to grow. So advance, brothers. Read the Bible through this year. Or read half of it through. Read a chapter a day. Bring somebody to church with you and try to get them saved. Start sitting up closer in church and singing. And get involved in church. Lean forward while your pastor's preaching. You know, a lot of times preachers preach shorter if you look like you're getting what they're saying. It's true. It's the truth. Because sometimes I'm preaching and I'm going, they're not getting it. And I try harder. And I repeat it. And I'm like, they're not getting it. I'm telling you, if you lean forward and you're like, he might preach shorter. That'd be worth it, wouldn't it? But see, grow. This is about growing. Here's our words. How much time do I have? And we got to go to dinner. Accept, evaluate, develop. Two more words. Guard. Here's a good word for you at this age. Guard. Biblical masculinity at this age is going to require you to keep your heart with all diligence. Guard your purity, brothers. I don't know, you'd think as this age where our testosterone is declining a bit that we would struggle less with our purity. It's not so. It's a different struggle, but it's a struggle nonetheless. Guard your purity. Guard your family. Guard your walk with God. Be on guard. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. Last word, exercise. Last word, aren't you glad you came to hear that last word? Exercise. Two ways. Number one, just exercise. Number two, exercise yourself unto godliness. Because godliness, the Bible says, is profitable in all things. Now, y'all know, godliness doesn't just happen. Sometimes you got to be man enough to say, whoop, we're going to turn that movie off and watch something different. Why? Because I'm trying to be godly. Trying to be godly. Why? Trying to be godly. We're not going to go see that movie. Why? Because I'm trying to be godly. Our family set a goal that we will never watch a movie without IDMBing it. Did I say that right?
IMDb.
I got that messed up, didn't I?
IMDb.
How many of y'all knew what I meant? Okay. Write that down in your notes, what I meant, not what I said. Why? Why? Because don't you think it'd be wise for me to know whether or not it's going to take God's name in vain before I get involved in the plot? And my son the other day, watched Elvis without telling me. Okay, now, I don't care what your opinion is, because I'm only telling a story. If you're okay with it, it's between you and God, because the Bible does not say, thou shaltest, nottest, watchest, the moviest, Elvisest.
Okay.
But I did live my standard, and I looked it up. And I know there's a scene where Elvis makes out with a girl and takes her clothes down to her underclothes, and it's implied that they have sexual relations. There are a number of scenes where he makes out with different girls. And there are several scenes where they throw their panties on the platform and he puts them on his head. So, it was in the end of the world that my son watched it without asking. I wasn't home. He was by himself and he watched it. Now, here's how I know he watched it. Because he went on my Amazon account and charged it to my card. You know what you call that? Dumb. So I called him. I let him. And then I called him and I said, do you remember last summer when you wanted to go see that movie and I told you you couldn't? Do you know why? He said, because you don't like Elvis. It's not it at all. I can handle a little Elvis when I'm carnal. Little. It's not why I didn't want you to watch it. I said, son, I didn't want you to watch it because of a word called purity. Does it not affect you when girls are throwing their panties on a platform and a guy puts them on his head? You're telling me you're 19 years old and that doesn't get your attention? The reason your daddy didn't watch it, son, is because I'm trying to exercise myself to godliness. And I'm asking you to do the same thing, son. Brothers, we're not going to win this battle unless we exercise.
Amen.
We've got to decide to do right in our culture. This is the age to do it if you haven't already. And it might just be, this is a practical word for you. Some of you men, I just need to start walking with your wife 2 miles a day. You can kill all kinds of birds with that stone. She'll talk. Communication. She might flirt. You can go where you want to with that one. You connect. My wife and I started 2 years ago now, walking 2 miles a day together. When I'm home, we just walk. It's been one of the greatest things I've done. Number one, we're feeling a little better because my blood pressure's lower, just walking 2 miles. But number two, my marriage is better. You know why? Because we connect. We walk 2 miles and we connect. We always come back and have a word of prayer together. Walk 2 miles, have a word of prayer together. I hold her hand, she holds mine, have a word of prayer together. It's made a difference in my marriage. It's called exercise. You can do this, brothers. I know life's busy. I understand life's busy. It's crazy busy. But try to put a little exercise to godliness and just some practical exercise. You're not getting any younger. My grandfather just died last year. Grandpa Trenum is 97. He got saved when he was 92. And Grandpa Trenum lived to be 97, and I'm convinced the reason he did is because for the last 40 years of his life, he walked 4 miles a day. He took a 20-pound barbell, two of them, or dumbbell. That's the right word, dumbbell. And he did this 25 times a day, and he walked 4 miles. 25 times a day, 25 times, he walked 4 miles. Lived to be 97. Got him saved when he was 92. I was trying to get him to heaven. He wouldn't go. Just kept hanging around. And he's in heaven now. But he did exercise. And so, this is a great age, brothers. You and I are in the third stage of life. It's a great age. Give it all you got. Finish well. Finish strong. Be all in. Be all in. Win in your marriage. Win in your walk with God. Win with your children. Win with your grandchildren. Win with your purity. You're not alone. You are more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. You have victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You have a Bible. Hide God's Word in your heart. It'll help you not to sin. You have everything you need to win at this stage of life. One last thing, and I'm going to hit mute, and we're going to leave. One last thing. Brothers, if you need help, get it. If you need help, find somebody godly and say, my marriage stinks. Help. Get help with your kids if you need it. Get help with your finances. Get help. It's important. Have I made sense? Thanks for your attention. May the Lord bless you and keep you.